Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I want to send this out to my opening song. We're going to dedicate it to my friend Ron and also my cousin Tracy. Well, you know what happened was we ended up going out to dinner on Wednesday evening at Cafe Luna in Cromwell, very tasty Tuscany chicken. I enjoyed that. Anyway, Tracy had remarked that she likes Taylor Swift, and Ron had mentioned that he likes to listen to Miley Cyrus. And I did this jokingly. I said, I like to listen to Janis Ian. And Ron's like, what? He doesn't like her very much. It still surprises me how much she used to sell out shows in Connecticut at the Kate in Old Saybrook, and also the Ridgefield Playhouse. I had tried to go to see her for a number of years, and I always failed. I never got the chance to go see her, and now she doesn't perform because something about getting sick and her vocal cords aren't the way that they used to be anymore. But she used to come to Connecticut at least twice a year. I knew people that got the chance to go. Unfortunately, I missed out. But Ron, that one's for you. Our opening song on Spotlight Connecticut, live on a Saturday afternoon. I did have something else that was originally planned for the show today. Unfortunately, it is not going to happen. My guest had an emergency. And so, unfortunately, we are going to postpone that topic for a few more weeks. So I do not have a live guest in the usual sense. And when I thought about what else I could do during the show today, there were a number of ideas that came to me. And last night, I was thinking to myself that we needed to address what happened this week in eastern Connecticut. I'm specifically referring to the Fitchville Pond Dam leak that happened Wednesday morning. There was that big, heavy rainstorm that happened early Wednesday. Combined with all of the snow melt, it was just a disaster waiting to happen. And I guess that we're fortunate that it didn't become even more of a catastrophe or an issue because it could have been. That dam could have completely burst. It could have failed. And being a Class C high-risk dam, that's what the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection calls it, it would have resulted in probable loss of life. The way that they have that system set up, you know, no life lost, possible life lost, and probable and certain life lost. And if you're Class C, that means that it could be one of those situations where it's going to have a life that's lost or more lives lost. And so fortunately, It did not get to that situation, but it was leaking. And that leak ended up resulting in extra water being rushed down the Yantic River. And you ended up with evacuations in Basra, parts of Basra, specifically near that dam, and further downstream in Norwich. And then you had the flash flood warning for much of central New London County because of that swollen Yantic River, because of that leak situation at the Fitchfield Pond Dam. And so I got to thinking about this for a little bit, and I said, well, what can I talk about? Because it's easy to criticize one party or another, and that's not what I want to do. The dam owner, do you criticize the state? Do you criticize the town? I actually thought that there was something good that came out of that situation. And it wasn't just the situation in Basra. If you think back to last summer when you had the three bridges that collapsed in flooding, yet again, this is becoming a growing issue, in the small eastern Connecticut town of Scotland, you had 18 people who were stranded. They couldn't leave their home. They were trapped for days. And the National Guard, when they were called upon, said that there was too much red tape to bring in a bridge. And so the town of Scotland, and I want to say that the Deep was involved in this, they somehow were able to manage a last-minute deal with a private company in Rhode Island, and they brought in a temporary bridge so that these 18 people could actually get out safely without having to walk through the woods or whatever it is that they had to do to get out, because some of them were able to get out or walk to another property and get a ride, but they could not get emergency services to those homes, and it was a big problem. And I got thinking about all of this. Communication saved the day. What do I mean by that? Well, there were emergency plans that were set up in place. I don't know if the average Joe in the community knew them, but they learned them very quickly. Residents who saw that water rising heard the warnings to get out of Dodge. When there was an emergency evacuation, the mandatory evacuation that came out just moments before my 11:30 news on Wednesday, word got out very quickly on radio, on WTIC. It got out very quickly on television. People were receiving phone calls in that area. People were going door to door, emergency officials. This was an example of communication being a major factor in Wednesday's dam leak at the Fitchfield Pond Dam. And also, same situation with what happened in Scotland. The first electman of Scotland last year, he ended up reaching out very quickly to those people who were impacted, found out that they weren't in any kind of immediate danger, but reached out to them, talked to them, heard their concerns, brought those concerns to the state and to other various layers of government, tried to come up with a solution very quickly, kept them aware of what was happening. They ended up finding an emergency way out on their own, and then eventually the bridge was put in place, and then they had that access that was restored. Communication is key here. But I want to stress that you need to be prepared. You need to know who to contact. Communication's key. Know your neighbors. We live in an era where, you know, people may not know their neighbors, but that's more important than you might think. Knowing your neighbors means that they could call you if you're not home and say, hey, you may not want to show up here because we're in a flooding situation. If you show up, you could be in danger. Knowing your neighbors is important because you may see them leaving for some emergency and you ask them, well, what's going on? If you think about a major city, okay, if there's a gas leak in downtown Hartford on Main Street or any street, pick one, okay, chances are you're going to see the commotion. You're going to say, what's happening here? And you'll turn to a neighbor and they'll tell you what's happening. They'll tell you why it's important to get out. And so that's what we saw happening in Basra and last year in Scotland. You saw the community coming together. You saw neighbors talking to one another. You saw news media getting in front of the issue, bringing information to the public. You saw on Facebook and social media, just on my end, working at WTIC in the news, trying to make sense of what was happening with the dam situation in Basra. It was all over Facebook, emergency officials, people with the town of Basra, people with the town of Norwich, the Norwich Public Utilities. They were getting out there on social media and they were saying, look, this is the situation. Here's what's happening. Here's what you need to know. And if there's reason to act, this is what you need to do. And so what I wanted to stress was how important it is just to be able to communicate, whether it's through social media, whether it's through knowing somebody in the community. Another aspect that's important is knowing an evacuation route. What street do you need to take? What path in the woods should you take if you can't take the street, if you live on a dead end? I grew up on a dead end. There's no other way out. If the main exit is blocked because the tree is down and it's tangled up with wires and you need to get out, you got to cut through the woods. So I ended up knowing what path there was to take, because you got to remember, Basra, and to a lesser extent Norwich — I know Norwich is a city, but it has some rural parts to it — Basra is as rural as it can get in Connecticut. And I grew up in rural Connecticut. I didn't grow up in Hartford. I didn't grow up in East Hartford. I didn't grow up in, I didn't live that life. And I understand what it's like for the people of Basra to have this issue on their hands, and their neighbors are not necessarily close, which is even more reason to know who they are, I think. And roads are blocked. One of our reporters had a hard time getting to the situation because, guess what? Roads were blocked. And so, you know, when you're living rurally, you need to have communication and access to information. It's critical. And if anything good has come out of the situation earlier this week, the flood in Basra, or the flood and the wiped out bridges in Scotland, it's the fact that communication, in fact, is saving the day. And I think that that is, if anything, the good that came of the situation. Now, of course, there are a lot of questions about what's going to happen to that dam, who's going to repair it, what kind of repairs need to be done, at what cost. You've got to remember that dams in Connecticut have been fairly safe. The last major catastrophe involving a dam in Connecticut was the Bushy Hill Dam failure in 1982. Zero deaths, but cost a lot in damage and repairs. $50 million was the price tag. And that was the price tag 42 years ago. So what would that $50 million be today? I don't know. I didn't look it up in the inflation calculator, but we're talking about a lot of money. And one person reached out to me and they asked me, this can't possibly be a private dam, but it is. The Fitchfield Pond Dam is, in fact, private. This person asked me to clarify that. They had heard that through word of mouth. Yes, it is a private dam. It's owned by the Basra Water Works, and the person who runs that company is a man named Seymour Edelman. So he runs that Fitchfield Dam. It's privately owned, and that's not uncommon in Connecticut. In fact, most dams in Connecticut are privately owned. Over 75% are privately owned. There are 4,000-ish dams in Connecticut in total, most of them privately owned. About 250 are state-owned dams. The exact percentage that the Deep gives on the website is 84% privately owned, which would be about 3,650 dams. Privately owned. That's incredible. And so people want to know, and we're going to continue to work to get answers as we follow this storm. And I don't want to add any conjecture here, but people want to know, is that sensible? Should a private person or company own such a large dam? And if so, how much should the Deep be regulating them? So there are a lot of questions surrounding this, no doubt. But the question that people need to ask themselves is, how can they be prepared to communicate and receive communications in the event of an emergency? I just really wanted to hammer that as we begin this Spotlight Connecticut on WTIC, because it was, in fact, a matter of life and death. Fortunately, no deaths, no injuries this week.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hey, everybody. This is Jimmy Bell. I play lead guitar for Autograph and House of Lords. I'm from Wethersfield, Connecticut, and I am listening to Spotlight Connecticut with my good buddy, Morgan Cunningham.
And that's my good buddy, Jimmy, who is playing this weekend in Pennsylvania and also in Virginia. So he's doing some traveling with Beyond Purple. They left Connecticut this morning, I believe, and now they're heading down south. Well, first they're heading west, then they're heading down south. Morgan Cunningham with you on this Saturday afternoon, just talking about how important communication was on Wednesday when the Fitchfield Pond Dam leaked. And that water rose 14 feet in some areas. And I feel bad for those poor businesses that had to, they had to shut down. And I feel bad for the people who had to leave for 6 hours when that mandatory evacuation started and eventually was lifted around 5 in the afternoon. But it kept everybody safe, fortunately, with minimal damage. Yes, there was some damage and there was some flooding, obviously. And now you've got the big question, what to do with this dam? And, you know, we just seem to keep getting rain and snow and rain and snow these days. And so definitely important to have that communication access. You know, you think about these small towns. Again, I grew up in one. You don't think that these kinds of tragedies will happen. Or issues, I shouldn't say tragedy, but you don't think that these issues would happen in a rural area. You think that you're safe. There's typically less crime. You just kind of keep to yourself and you live in your own little world, your own little bubble. And you're safe and you're happy. But when there is an issue like what happened in Basra, a town of about 2,500 people, that catches your attention. And what do you do? Knowing what to do is so important. Having the communication is important. Whether it's reverse 911 calls, receiving a text message through the town or through the state or from your neighbor, again, knowing your neighbor. On social media, which is how we at WTIC and I'm sure all the other news media, we were getting updates from officials because they were posting. The fire departments were posting online. The Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, they're posting updates on X, formerly known as Twitter, and on Facebook. You don't even need to necessarily put your picture on one of those platforms or post information, but just having one of those accounts so you can check a burner account, in other words. I know that's probably not something kosher to recommend. You know, they're always talking about security, but I'm just saying a way to get information quickly, having a portable radio, a phone app, that will help greatly. And so again, just reiterating, communication is key, especially for my small town friends, because I know what that was all about back when I was growing up. Another thing that we wanted to talk about this week on Spotlight Connecticut, and hopefully bring some levity to what has so far been a serious show, because I don't want to be totally serious. I can be serious, but I don't want to be totally serious. If you're new to Connecticut, what do you do? And it's a question I asked myself because a few weeks ago I was considering a little trip. I was going to go to Nantucket. And someone might wonder, why do you want to go to Nantucket in the winter? Well, I've always kind of had a history of rooting for the underdog and taking part in unusual or alternative experiences. I'm just a weird dude. I know it. And, you know, I always wanted to explore Nantucket in the winter or Martha's Vineyard when everything's shut down and quiet and you could kind of see a different beauty of the island. Now, some people in this group on Facebook called Ask Nantucket, I posted what to do in Nantucket in the winter, and these people thought that I was totally crazy. But some people did actually have some legitimate ideas and suggestions. I did not end up going, not because of the whole winter thing. I didn't go because I ended up painting at my house. Whew, what a brutal job that was and how high I got from the fumes, man. But I will tell you that I would have rather probably be in Nantucket, but it was a job that needed to get done, and I had those few days off, so I took care of the painting instead. But these people had a lot of good suggestions, and so I thought to myself, how would I answer that question as a Connecticut native and somebody who currently lives in Connecticut, is highly involved in Connecticut news, media, information, and information sharing? What would I say to somebody if I were in a Facebook group and I saw somebody post that online? What would I tell them? Well, the first thing that came to my mind, if somebody were new to Connecticut, I would say pizza. Okay. I think everybody who lives in Connecticut knows that we are pretty blessed to have good pizza all over the state, from Greenwich to Grafterdale, Salisbury to Stonington, and every single where, everywhere, literally everywhere in between. We've got great pizza from corner to corner and across the state. We really do. And we're fortunate about that because I have gone to Massachusetts. I don't think I've had an impressive pizza there. Rhode Island, I've found some good ones in the Musquamacan area, but let's be honest, they're dealing with the Connecticut proximity effect, so that probably rubbed off on them. Vermont, don't think I've had a good pizza up there. Haven't been to New Hampshire or Maine in a long time, and I don't even recall if I'd tried a pizza there, but I don't know if I'd be impressed. Upstate New York, not so much. New York City, yes. Pennsylvania, horrible pizza. And my ancestors are from Pennsylvania, and I've gone to Pennsylvania probably the most, other than Connecticut. I've probably been to Pennsylvania the most because of the family factor. And in little old Glassport, Pennsylvania, we found a good pizza. I always thought it was good. I didn't think it was anything to write home about, but it was good. Maryland, nothing thrilling there. Dallas, Texas. Let me tell you about what happened when I went to get a pizza in Dallas, Texas. There is a place on the Colt Highway in Dallas, Texas, that will make a pizza for you, but they don't cook it for you. I was looking for a pizza when I was in the city, and I went in, and they would make you a raw pizza, uncooked. Uncooked dough, uncooked sauce, uncooked cheese, uncooked toppings, and you take this home and you cook it yourself. Now, that's it's a cool concept, and I'm sure that natives of Dallas like that, but little Morgan, well, I wasn't that little at the time, but Morgan, traveling to Dallas and I don't have an oven, that did me no good. So that was a turnoff right then and right there. I ended up finding a pizza and it wasn't even that great. So if I were new to Connecticut and asking, I would probably see a lot of people post about pizza in Connecticut, and I will tell you how I'd answer that question on the other side of the break on WTIC. Stay tuned.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
My producer, Kevin. Hello, Kevin. Thanks for pushing all the buttons and keeping us on the air and so forth and so on. And, checking the transmitter power and the tower lights and all those fun things. Thank you very much, Kevin. He said to me during the break, he said, Morgan, you're probably the only person who could successfully combine chit-chat and talk and information about flooding and pizza in one show. Yes. See, I wear many hats. I have many different skills. And practicing what I preach about communication, I do want to say that they are still dealing with those flood issues in Mystic. As you heard in the bottom of the hour during Kevin's little news break there, Downtown Mystic and the Greater Mystic Chamber of Commerce on Facebook, they have drone footage. Mystic is largely underwater, especially by the water, the area of Mystic that's by the water, which, let's be honest, is much of Mystic. And homes and roads blocked and cars submerged in water. It's really some very alarming footage. So if you're on Facebook, or maybe you should be on Facebook just to see some of this information and the pictures, and Groton as well, struggling with the flooding down that area as well. So it was not just Basra this week. And again, look at this. This is information that is keeping people critically safe. And I think that ongoing communication, whether it's on social media, WTIC radio, wherever and however you get your information, door to door, talking with your neighbors, just again reiterating what I was talking about, that is the success that saved the day Wednesday. That is what is saving the day today. People from driving into the water and possibly getting stuck, drowning, whatever it is, sinkholes form. You never know how deep exactly that water might be. It's this communication that is keeping everybody safe. And so I just continue to harp on that as a success that has been proven time and time again, whether it's bridges being washed out and wiped out in the small eastern Connecticut town of Scotland, or Basra, or Norwich, or now Mystic and Groton. And poor eastern Connecticut keeps taking those hits. Man, not good. All right, so as we were talking about before the break, I was thinking about how I would address the question to somebody new to Connecticut. What would you do? What should you know if you're new to Connecticut, whether it's for a trip or you're moving here? What should you know? What should you do if you want to get out and explore? And I had said that pizza was the first thing that came to my mind, because how blessed we are that we have fantastic pizza in Connecticut from quarter to quarter and across the state. The answer that you would probably see the most, and there's nothing wrong with it at all, is probably Pepe's, Sally's, Modern in New Haven. New Haven has kind of become the Connecticut pizza epicenter. It's not limited just to New Haven, but definitely kind of an epicenter, as I said. But let me tell you, some of these locations that you find in New Haven have branched out, much like Pepe's had, across the state. I believe that Pepe's is now, they have a number of locations, Mohegan Sun, Manchester. I want to say there's one in the Waterbury area. I could be wrong about that, but I would recommend going to the touristy one first, which is the one that is down there in New Haven. And for the very first time, I went to that location 2 years ago with my buddy Kevin F. Wilkes. K-Dubs is his nickname. Worked here for a time at WTIC, and we have kept in touch. And so he took me down there for the pizza experience. But this is what you should know if you are new to Connecticut, anybody new or anybody looking to recommend anything to someone in Connecticut, that line at Pepe's, also Sally's, Modern, you name it, it gets long. Horribly long. And so what I would suggest is going on a weekday, like a late afternoon, like a 4 o'clock. That's when Kevin and I went. We went on a Thursday at 4, and we were not met with a line that was down the street, which is very likely to happen if you're there on a Friday or a Saturday. Maybe that's the experience that you're looking for, but that is one way that I would address that question. Now, here's one diamond in the rough. In the town of Bolton, there's a place called Georgina's, and they have some fantastic options and pizzas, but they have by far the best buffalo chicken pizza that I have ever had. It's just the right temperature, the right degree of hot. It's got a creamy blue cheese dressing sauce, and the crust is buttery, little salty, little sweet. It's the perfect counter to the heat that exists on the pizza, which isn't terribly overdone, not at all. Georgina's is known largely as kind of this wedding destination and this area where people have wedding receptions, but they've got some very good pizzas too. And, you know, let's be honest, Bolton, Andover, Hebron, Marlboro, not known really as a tourist destination in Connecticut, doesn't have a whole lot of industry necessarily. It's largely residential, but Georgina's, like I said, diamond in the rough. They've got some fantastic pizza there, particularly the buffalo chicken one. And I have recommended that pie to a number of people. I tried making it myself once. Notice I said once, because I failed miserably. I don't know what I did wrong. I think I did a lot of things wrong, to be honest. And one thing that I really like about the Georgina's one is they're not putting large chunks of chicken. Everywhere I go, it's large chunks of chicken. I don't want large chunks of buffalo chicken. What Georgina's does, and I think that this is what is a major part of the success of this pizza, is that they actually tear it apart and it becomes stringy. So it's kind of like, I don't know if I want to say shaved necessarily, but because it's not shaved, but it's pulled apart chicken. And so you get more chicken spread out over the pizza than if you had one large chunk or a few chicken tenders on there, because I've gone to some places that do that and not necessarily any good. Though that's what they do in Pennsylvania with the bad pizzas in Pennsylvania that I had referenced earlier this hour. Not to beat on my native state of Pennsylvania, or I should say my family's native state of Pennsylvania. I was a native of Connecticut, but in Pennsylvania, not many good pies there, and I would not try a buffalo chicken pizza there. But Georgina's, recommend it. One place that I have not tried yet and that I want to try, and I'm looking for recommendations, and I'll give out my socials and my email a second and see if I can get some people who've been to this place, if they can tell me if it's any good. Sparrow in West Hartford, which is on Farmington Ave. Now, I've been known to hit up that area and explore that part of West Hartford plenty of times and been to some good restaurants there, but I've heard that the pizza is good at Sparrow. I want to try it. I haven't yet. If anybody knows anything about pizza at Sparrow in West Hartford, would you let me know? Would you tell me? Would you send me an email, morgan.cunningham@odyssey.com, or find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, okay? X, formerly known as Twitter. See, I still got to get out of that habit. My username is @MCNewsTalk. So you can find me there @MCNewsTalk. Lots of great people who've connected with me on my new Instagram. Want to shout out, let's see, Kevin. A different Kevin, not the Kevin as that I mentioned earlier, producer Kevin. We've got Clint. I see him on there. So thank you all very much for following me @MCNewsTalk on Instagram. Really appreciate it. Having a lot of fun there. I posted a video today, which is a little bit different for me. I'm used to doing static pictures, but I actually posted a little video of me in the studio talking about how communication is key in times of crisis and how I also teased that we'd talk a little bit about pizza. But if you go on there, you will find @MCNewsTalk. I hope to get some more videos up there. But I've seen some people, they're giving me a round of applause for putting up a video. My friend Melissa, she put the hand clapping emoji. So I guess that she's trying to tell me something. And somebody else wrote, nice to see some Instagram content. Well, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work on the new platform. People have been telling me I got to post more. I do have to post more, but I've got to figure out what to post. And I don't want to post something just for the sake of posting it. I want it to actually look good, have meaning. We'll be back.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, I'm Kevin in Seymour, and I'm listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Let's say hi to Joe. Joe just started following me on Instagram @MCNewsTalk. He must have really wanted to see that video. Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate your listening, and I appreciate your following me. Anybody, welcome, of course, @MCNewsTalk. Keep in touch with me and what's going on with me here at WTIC. Thinking about pizza yet again, it's worth mentioning that Willington Pizza, you might have to travel a little bit out to the woods of Willington, but I like their pizza, and it doesn't come out too hot, doesn't come out too cool, just comes out perfectly temperatured, and the red potato pizza, pretty good. It is a pretty good pie. If you like double starch, that is. You've got the potato and the crust. But if you can look aside that, you know, if you could get past that, it's a very good pizza. I think it's a sour cream. It's been a while since I've had it. I want to say it's been a few years. I've tried other pizzas there recently, just not that one. I believe that they use sour cream as the sauce on that pizza. Pretty good. And they will customize it if you want it customized in any different way. Willington Pizza, definitely a place to hit up. And for my friends in Western Connecticut, I'd say that the best pizza I've had in Western Connecticut would be in New Canaan at a restaurant called Spiga, S-P-I-G-A. Very good pizza at Spiga. A lot of other good Italian dishes, a lot of it homemade, particularly the pastas there and the pizza crust. And you can tell it's a homemade pie when you get it. It's not a cookie cutter crust or anything like that. It comes out kind of rough around the edges, literally rough around the edges. But Spiga in New Canaan, for my friends in Western Connecticut or anybody new to Connecticut, worth the trip, in my opinion. I'd also answer that question, what to do if you're new in Connecticut, which has kind of been the prompt on and off today. I would say explore the outdoors. It was just this week that the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection launched what is now officially called the Outdoor Industries and Experiences Department within the DEEP. It is a public-private recreational partnership, and what they're trying to do is find ways to grow upon the successful state parks and forests in Connecticut with help from area businesses, and also what to do with maybe some businesses that have large recreational spaces. Is there a partnership to be had with the state? And so there are a number of these that already exist. And if you'd like to apply, you can learn more. If you have a business that you'd like to get partnered with the state in that way through the Office of the Outdoor Industry and Experiences Department, then you can just go to the State DEEP website, DEEP, and you can learn more there. I think it's a very interesting thing. I have noticed that the state parks have been busy. You know, I don't live far away from Gay City State Park, and I always see activity there. People parking, people walking, whether it's on kind of a dreary, cold winter day, a nicer day like today with a better temperature. Certainly in the summer, it's very active. Some other places that I'd recommend, Old Furnace State Park in Killingly. If you're into hiking and you want to go out to literally the quiet corner, which is nothing but woods and more woods, and when you think that you've come across all the woods that you can find, oh wait, there's more woods in Killingly. Old Furnace State Park, there's a lookout mountain, and you can see, as far as the eye can see, just beautiful forested trees, and you overlook a large lake that's there. Good luck finding it. It's kind of a haul. You do have to walk a bit, and there are some other paths, so you can get lost. And I don't know how to direct you just by talking on the radio. So you have to be kind of in the moment, and you want to have at least an hour to go explore. But Old Furnace State Park, a great area to check out in Killingly if you're into that kind of thing. And the one thing I'll say about Gillette Castle, everybody goes there to see the castle. Everybody goes to Gillette Castle to learn what that castle used to be all about and the history. But I am more impressed, and I did that tour years ago with my parents. I mean, I was in the single digits, and I'd like to do it again just to have that experience of doing it as an adult. But the reality is I did it as a child, and, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you don't remember all those kinds of things. It's a good experience to have, but you don't remember all that stuff, and that's certainly the case with me. But I would say that I'd do it again as an adult. But the times that I have gone there, it wasn't to see the castle. I mean, you see the castle, but what I did was go down to the Connecticut River. You can go explore this gorgeous path that takes you down to the Connecticut River, which is probably a little flooded right now, not advisable. But if you could get down to the Connecticut River, it's a beautiful sight there in East Haddam. And as I recall, I think you can see the castle from the river, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But it depends where you are exactly along the river, I think. But there is a path, and a lot of people don't know about that path. And so I would recommend that. So see what inspiration happened when I went on Facebook a few weeks ago and I was considering that trip to Nantucket. And I was wondering how to fill today's show because we had that guest postponement because of their emergency. And I figured that I would put myself in someone else's shoes and answer as a Connecticut expert, as those friendly people on Nantucket did with me. Final reminder, tomorrow I'm super excited to go to Bowser's Rockin' Doo-Wop Party Volume 22 at the Mohegan Sun Arena. We had Jay Siegel of the Tokens on last week, and it was around this time, exactly 1 week ago, that he sang The Lion Sleeps Tonight, the intro of it. See, I can't do it, and so I'm not going to try. But Jay did it phenomenally, and I am thrilled to see the show. And I will share the news now. I am thrilled to see behind the stage and meet everybody. This was just worked out at last minute yesterday, literally last minute yesterday, that I have access backstage officially because I am Morgan Cunningham. And so everybody wants me around backstage because I'm cool, right? So I tell myself. But they are going to bring me backstage and I'm going to meet some fantastic people. And I'm really looking forward to it. Jay Siegel is one of them. You heard him last week on Spotlight Connecticut, and you can find the podcast if you missed it on the Odyssey platform or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts. It's all there, AUDACY. Just look up Spotlight Connecticut. That's the show's name, Spotlight Connecticut, and you'll be able to hear my interview with Jay Siegel of the Tokens, Lion Sleeps Tonight, He's in Town, Portrait of My Love, Tonight I Fell in Love. But he's not the only performer that Bowser is going to be introducing tomorrow afternoon at the arena. Not at all. You've got Kenny Vance and the Planetones, Looking for an Echo. You've got Gary U.S. Bonds, Quarter to Three, New Orleans. And I want to know if Gary U.S. Bonds is going to do This Little Girl, which he performed originally with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. I'm very curious if he's just going to do the older material. I think, if I had to make a bet, and I'm kind of a betting man, a little bit, if I had to take a guess, I would say that he's going to do This Little Girl. I hope he does. You've got Lala Brooks of the Crystals to Do Run Run. He is a fantastic musician. She is a fantastic musician, my bad. She's a fantastic musician. A lot of energy. The energy that she has is phenomenal. She did last year a performance of Proud Mary by Tina Turner. Who else could do that? I didn't think anybody, but Lala Brooks could. You've got the Dubs, Joey D and the Starlighters, Johnny Farino of Santo and Johnny, Sleepwalk, Bowser and the Stingrays, and the special guest, the son of Jackie Wilson, Mr. Lonely Teardrops, Bobby Brooks Wilson. So it's going to be a thrilling show tomorrow afternoon at 3, and I can't wait to tell everybody what it was like being behind stage and meeting all of these great people. Lala takes us out. Goodbye.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.